It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Good morning, my dear friends, and welcome in to yet another rousing rendition of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. How do you do, Upstate South Carolina? Hello, America. What up, world? Great to be with you. I am Rob Brown. On the other side of the metaphorical glass, the man in charge of this and every show you've ever heard and enjoyed, the great one, Lonzo, is here as well. What up, Zoe? How dost thou do?
I feel like you this morning. It's weird. I'm like behind on everything and just, all right, well, just set down on. I don't like this feeling. I mean, maybe you like it because it gets you ready to go.
Yeah, baby, we live on the edge.
I like sitting here and prepared and ready to. Yeah, so I just got things together like 20 seconds before we went.
My life's a buzzer beater.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I like living on the edge. I like the adrenaline. I work better under pressure. Okay. I just do. You know, so ordinarily you and I, we start the show by just kind of bantering back and forth with great wit and humor. But I'd like to start the show off a little differently today. Okay. Because people who are up with us and listening to the early portion of the show, these are people with a morning routine. These are people who are up because, you know, I got the shoes on and I'm jogging by X o'clock, right? I got the coffee.
You don't want to do that today. It's raining pretty good.
Hey, so, listen, people who are getting up at 5:30 in the morning to go jog, they don't give a damn. They're going jogging, rain or shine, all right? I get it, and I respect it for sure. And yes, I do have the glasses today to answer your question, Steven. I just forgot to bring them in here with me. Thank you for reminding me. I'll get them at the break. People who are up this early traditionally have some sort of regiment that they go through, a routine that they go through. And as folks like Lonzo will tell you, for many of them, part of that routine involves a morning activity that confines you for some period of time to one particular room of the home. You know what I mean.
A visit to the throne room.
Which
you need to do. I mean, you know, it's good to be, as the old folks say, regular.
Regular. Some people start their day off. That's part of the routine, and I will even.
That's my routine. Just in case you wanted to know that I'm just like you. I know you may not think that that's it, but I am.
Even the almighty great one, Lonzo, begins his day with a trip to the coronation room to sit atop the porcelain throne, and it for many. And I'll even go one step further. I'm envious of you. I'm jealous of you. I wish that my body would operate on that schedule where I know, hey, 5:45, it's time to pop a squat. It's time, checking in, beep, 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 let's go. But that's not how it works for me. For me, it's just various and random points throughout my day. It's like, oh, this is happening right now. Well, just please know, when I tell you that NFL players and coaches, college players and coaches, they're people too. They got the same struggle. They got the same life that we do. Yeah, they make a lot of money to play a children's game, but at the end of the day, they're people too. One of those people, and somebody that as I have told you already, Darren Rizzi, the interim head coach of our New Orleans Saints. This past Sunday, he was at the crib. Saints hosting the Atlanta Falcons. And he went to the press conference for the very first time as a head coach of the New Orleans Saints. And he started off his press conference, great one, this way.
No, man, I'm a pretty open guy. So
This is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, get down here to Superdome. I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning. I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day, pun intended. And so we listen. I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, yeah, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So, so I'm like, really? This is really how we're going to start my day? So, listen, there was moments during the game. You know, I'm so wrapped up in the in my routine. There was moments today where, like, I'm almost forgetting. I'm just going through my routine, and I'm kind of forgetting that that I'm the head coach a couple times. All true.
So Darren Rizzi says, I start my day, my very first day, game day, as an NFL head coach. And I get to the Superdome, and I go to the head coach's office, go to the head coach's locker room, which I've never used before, and I started my day by clogging up the crapper. And I said, it's going to be a crappy day. I got to tell you right now, name that man the full-time head coach right now. Right now. Because my man, now, he could have gone to the podium for a post-game presser. He's 1-0 as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. He could have gone to the pressers, though, and he could have started his campaign to keep that job. He could have started his campaign to be named the full-time and permanent head coach of the New Orleans Saints. He could have got up there and said, look at this. I'm 1-0. I just knocked off the divisional rivals. The boys played hard. We had a great game plan, and I oversaw all of that. Hey, Gail Benson, if you're listening, which I know you are, you're the owner of this team. You're clocked in. You're a wonderful owner, Gail. You're doing a great job. If you're paying, that's what he's saying, not me. If you're paying attention, I'd like to point out that, again, I'm 1-0. I just defended this house, something that Dennis Allen did one time back in week one and not since. I mean, I'm your guy. And that's not what he did. Instead, what he did was he got to the mic and he goes, you know, I got here this morning. I used my new office for the very first time. I went through my, if you'll pardon the expression, morning movement. And I clogged the crapper, and then I said, it's going to be a crappy day. Not only did my man open it with that story, open it with the humility to share that so we could all have a chee-hee-hee chuckle, but then, Lonzo, he dropped an uncle joke right there in the middle of it.
Dropped it.
He dropped an uncle. The number two thing he said at the podium was to drop an uncle joke about clogging the crapper on day one.
Okay, what's the difference between an uncle joke and a dad joke? It's just, okay. It's not your dad?
So a dad joke is ordinarily centered around wordplay, and it's usually clean. It's something that a father would say in front of an impressionable son to get a ha-ha chuckle out of him, but not introduce any words or concept that maybe he doesn't want the kid to repeat. An uncle joke is typically a joke that involves the same structure, right? One-liner, wordplay, haha, funny. But it's also something that you don't really care if the kid takes away, because if he says it at school, you don't get in trouble for it, right? So an uncle joke is like a dirty version of a dad joke.
There is a difference, though, for him. In the assistant coach's bathroom, he would have had to fix it. In the head coach's bathroom, somebody else has to come and fix it.
I mean, let's start with this. If you clog the crapper, fix it, all right? I don't care if you're the damn president of the United States. If you clog the crapper, fix it yourself. You should especially as a guy, there should never be a spot where you're like, hey, Bill, I had an issue down here. Can you come plunge my poop, please?
Unless it becomes a situation where the plunger is not effective and you need an actual plumber.
If you missed it a couple of weeks ago, we played and addressed a moment that took place on the Pat McAfee show between Pat, his production crew, and J.J. Watt, where a guy on Twitter they do a you know, questions from McAfee Nation or whatever he calls his people. And a guy apparently for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks every week wrote into the show and asked the question, if you are at a party. Oh, I made that one. Hell yeah. That was a shot. No angle. If you're at a party and you clog the crapper and there is not a plunger in the restroom, what's the play? And the boys had like a wide range of answers. One of them was like, man, if they didn't provide a plunger, then they can't expect you to plunge. You go find the owner of the home and you say, hey, dude, look, it's embarrassing, but I clogged the pooper and there's no plunger in there. What do you want to do? And you involve them. Is it embarrassing? Yeah, but they didn't provide a plunger. It's kind of the deal, right? You had another one. I think, in fact, it was in another one. It was J.J. Watt who said, if you clog the crapper at a party, you're at a buddy's house and you clog it, and there's no other option. J.J. said, you reach down in there, you suck up your pride, you grab that turd with the hand, and you break it up yourself. And then you go wash your hand, you leave that bathroom, and you never tell that story to anyone ever after that moment. Now, that's extreme. That's, I think we all acknowledge that's extreme. And then you had the boy. I don't remember which one it was, but you had the fella in the background who said, I'll tell you what I do. I don't come out of the bathroom. I DoorDash a plunger. I DoorDash a plunger. I have a DoorDash driver bring a plunger to the house. I don't come out of the bathroom until that person is there. And then, and only then, do I leave the bathroom, shut the door, sprint to the front door, grab the plunger from the DoorDash driver, sprint back to the bathroom, do the plunging, leave the plunger there, but I do so in a way that is obvious that you have a plunger now, you irresponsible child of a human being. Okay? There's a variety of answers.
By the way, new homeowners don't necessarily think about the fact that they need a plunger, especially if you're that kid who just left home and you think you got everything until you find out you don't. I'm not going to be mad at that guy. He just moved into his apartment. He didn't know that he needed
now,
that.
See, you're and I respect it. You're creating further scenarios within the hypothetical in order to defend someone who's not real. Who's not real. What I'm saying is, if you don't have a plunger, that's irresponsible. It may be out of ignorance. It may be out of naivete. But it is irresponsible.
I don't think you can be irresponsible if you're ignorant.
You absolutely can't.
No, you can't, because you didn't know that you were supposed to do something.
There
You're
is
only irresponsible
no one.
If you know something. And
there is
and you,
no one over the age of 10 who doesn't know the function and importance of a plunger.
Absolutely. There are a ton of kids out there who don't know.
Then they have failures of parents.
Okay, that's not for
if
me
you
or
have
you
made
to
it,
decide.
If you have made it to 10, 11, 12 years old, and you have never been taught a plunger, I'm not talking how to reinstall a commode. I'm not talking about doing the plumbing and the pipes inside of the home. I'm saying if you've made it to 10, 11, 12, and you don't know what a plunger is, your responsible guardian has failed. That is basic life stuff, man. Basic life stuff. Hey, if you flush and the water starts to come up when the water's supposed to go down, you use this thing. You take the pointy end, you put it in the hole, and you push real hard.
No, you don't put the pointy end, and you hold on to the... It's not
the stick.
Yeah, you said the pointy end.
Yeah, okay, my plunger is the kind that has the bell with the pointy thing, the nozzle on the end of it.
Okay, well, again, and I guess people who
you
don't have that are also
end.
Irresponsible.
You put the round end over the hole, and you push like your life depends on it. If you're 13 years old, you know what a plunger is.
I'm also curious, is this just a matter of the plumbing at wherever the Saints offices are, or is my dude eating?
I mean, the Super Bowl, the Superdome's been there since the 70s.
Yeah, so
you know?
That could be part of it, or my dude is eating some stuff that's just not. I mean,
big fiber guy, big fiber guy. You got it. Yeah, have you seen Darren Rizzi? Have you seen Darren Rizzi?
I have, and I've heard how he talks.
Darren Rizzi's an old linebacker.
Yes.
And first off, his last name's Rizzi. There's only one position.
He sounds like he's that star of one of those cop shows that always sounds like this.
Which is a linebacker thing, right?
Yeah.
If your last name is Rizzi, you're playing one of two positions, quarterback or middle linebacker. That's it. There ain't no running backs named Rizzi. If your last name is the Riz, you're either a linebacker or you're a quarterback.
Or a professional wrestler.
Or all of the above.
Which like you can be.
Kevin Green.
Yes.
So this man didn't just show up for day one on the job. Day one. Could you imagine, kid? Could you imagine what the perspective would have been, great one, if I got hired here at the legendary Fan Upstate, showed up on day one for, at the time, my noon job, and then rolled up in here and was like, hey, guys,
Worst hypothetical you've ever put out there, because you've been in that restroom many times.
That's fair.
I mean, come on, dude.
Usually I get upset with Zoe killing off my hypotheticals, but this one I'll take.
Yeah,
they'd probably be like, not the worst thing happening in there.
No, they'd be welcome.
Yeah, that's not the worst thing.
Now we know you fit.
This man showed up on day number one of auditioning for a head coaching job. Look, if this guy goes out there, and he won't, but if this guy goes out there and he runs the table as the head coach, as the interim head coach, there's absolutely a very good chance he keeps that job. Because Ben Johnson, who is probably the only guy out there that I go, that's my man. It's either Ben Johnson, the passing game coordinator Clint Kubiak, but let's keep it a buck. The passing game fell the hell off, and I do blame Dennis Allen. But if Clint Kubiak can't work under Dennis Allen and figure it out, then I don't know if I can trust him. So it's day number one of this man auditioning to become an NFL head coach. And activity number one is to roll into the clubhouse, to roll into the pooper in his head coach's office and clog that SOB up on day number one. And then when he goes to the podium after a win, an opportunity to begin his campaign to remain the HC of the NOLA Saints. He just opens with that. This isn't a story that he waited and he's 10, 15 minutes into his post-game dub presser. And some media member goes, hey, coach, first day as the HC, you got the dub. Can you walk us through your day? Can you set us up for how you got here? And he goes, okay, well, now that you asked, funny story. Now that you've asked, here's how my day started off. It started off with a bang. You know, I roll, and then you tell the story, and everybody goes, ta-ha, tee-hee, funny, chuckle, lols. That's great. But you've already taught football. No. This man got to the podium, grabbed the mic, and went,
I clogged the pooper.
Day number one, minute number one, first day, first hour on the job, my very first act as the head coach of these New Orleans Saints was to roll up. The point that I'm making here is we're all people. It happens to everybody. This man auditioning for a job nuked the crapper and then just had to deal with it. Guy's got the biggest opportunity of his entire life laid out in front of him. And that's what a way to start the day. What a way. And then makes an uncle joke about it. Spectacular. All right. We got a lot we got to get into. College football playoff rankings came out earlier this week. We got into them a little bit yesterday. Let's talk about the teams that are hanging out on the bubble today, shall we? Let's talk about the teams that are right there in the mix, but have some work left to do. We'll get into that. Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News is going to join us at 8 o'clock. Rashad Beard of the Panther Nation podcast at 8:40. Hayton S. Mario from the BetQL Network at 9 o'clock. And Fight Club with Lonzo at 9:20. That's all on a Thursday on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. And off we go, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate, yo.
I do have a question, and Joe brought this up too, but I have a different angle to this. How did Rob Brown handle being surrounded by children yesterday? That had to be a nightmare for you.
No, it was not. I loved it. So real quick, yesterday there was a 10:30 a.m. puck drop for the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, and I serve as the in-arena host for the Greenville Swamp Rabbit. So when the bits are at the house, I go in and I hype up the crowd, right? I go in, I grab a mic, I yell, I scream, I get everybody super excited about hats. Yesterday, they did a 10:30 a.m. puck drop, and they did school day with the bits. So basically, there was about 4,000, not an exaggeration, it was like 3,600, something like that. There was like 4,000 kids in the Greenville Swamp Rabbits Arena, in the Bon Secours Wellness Arena yesterday. And I mean this when I tell you, it was the loudest that stadium's ever been for a hockey game. The loudest it's ever been. When we started the game, the first thing that I do is I go down onto the ice. And at the beginning of the game, we have a kid come down. And we let that kid, much like you say, play ball at a baseball game. We have that kid, so we count to three, and we have that kid yell, let's play hockey. And we get everybody in the arena to yell. Well, these kids were buzzing before the game started. And so I said, hey, instead of having one kid come down, I said, you guys all are going to do this with me. So when I count to three, I want you guys to scream, let's play hockey. And then I want everybody to just lose their mind. All right. I want you to yell and scream and get up out of the seats. And I want you to make as much noise as you can make until the puck hits the ice and we start the game. And so I counted one, two, three. And this stadium lost its bleeping mind. I mean it when I tell you, these 3,600-ish kids made more noise, great one, I'm not exaggerating, than when, like, Seth freaking Rollins has come out at a WWE show.
So a lot of treble, though, probably.
Oh, God, it was shrill, okay? It was good. It was good. They were loud, but it was shrill. I'll put it this way. Usually when I do this and I say, hey, all right, this is Sam. Sam's our Let's Play Hockey kid. On the count of three, Sam and everybody in here, we're all going to yell Let's Play Hockey and make some noise. And I go one, two, three, and I put the mic in front of Sam's face, and Sam yells, and all the people yell Let's Play Hockey, and then they yell. And usually the arena's full of grown-ups, man. The arena's full of grown-ups who are super-duper hype about what's about to happen. So I was like, all right, you yell. And the place goes, and it just sounds like an arena, right? Sounds like an arena. Good arena, good crowd, but it just sounds... It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's like an arena. Yesterday, I counted to three. I told these kids lose their mind, and I've never had to do this before, Zoe. I wear an earpiece, like an FBI earpiece, loops up the back, goes over the ear, and it lets me talk to, I got a microphone and it lets me talk to the young lady who runs the show, our director, basically, our producer-director, who sits up in a bird's nest up above the stadium. She goes, all right, next we're going to do this. All right, 3, 2, 1, go, and we do the thing. And then when I'm talking, she counts me down. All right, Rob, be out in 5, 4, 3, and I get out, and yada, yada, yada. So I have an earpiece in that lets me talk to her, but these earpieces are designed so that you can hear the audio from your transmitter, but you can also still hear, right? You can still hear what's going on around you. It's the first time I've ever had to do this. I had to take that thing out and plug my ears as I walked off the ice because it was loud and it was incredible. It was impressively loud. Even Kyle Mountain, the head coach, because between the second and third intermission, I go out on the ice and I do an intermission report with the coach. So I basically do like a 2-question live interview on the ice that they put up on the board. They put it out over the television broadcast. And so I go out there and I go, all right, coach, real chippy. You guys are killing the power play today or having issues with the PK kill. How do you fix it? Whatever. I walked out there and I'm like, all right, coach, chippy game today. Savannah trying to throw you off your game a little bit. And he just goes, it's loud in here, dude. Like, it's loud in here. And it was an electric environment from these kids. But dog, it was like having somebody play a flute right in your ear hole, man. It was like somebody grabbed the radio, turned the bass to zero and the treble to 11, and then just drilled it into your ear. And I don't care, for the record. It was great because they had those kids that energized. And we had yesterday Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, on. And we talked about this. I said, look, I love this for two reasons. I love it, first off, because this is how you get kids into hockey. This is how you grow this sport in the community. I love hockey. I want to talk more hockey on the show, but as I also pointed out on the show yesterday, at the end of the day, I'm only allowed to get into what you guys react and respond to, and until I can get you guys to react and respond to hockey in a way that is noticeable to the folks upstairs, I can only kind of wedge a hockey story in every now and then. I can't really, like, dial in on it, right? We basically get to talk hockey during the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that's kind of the run. I would love to be able to talk about the fact that the Carolina Hurricanes went on an 8-game win streak but have dropped 2 out of the last 3. I would love to talk about the fact that the Canes had 50 shots on goal last night and scored 1. That can't happen. You've got to be more efficient than that, right? I'd love to get into that, but you guys don't respond to hockey. So the way that you grow a game, whether it's hockey or soccer or whatever else, the way that you grow a game is you directly expose people to it. I didn't grow up with hockey. I grew up on a beach in Florida. The only ice I had was crushed and in a margarita. All right, I was a kid. You get the point. You get the joke I'm making here. I didn't have hockey growing up. And then, I think my freshman year, maybe second year of high school, a buddy I went to school with, his name was Bobby. Remember him to this day. He was from Michigan? Somewhere up north. Well, Pensacola had just started a team called the Pensacola. They were at the time the Ice Pilots. Now they're the Ice Flyers. And Pensacola just started a team very similar to the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. And he came up to me one day and he's like, hey, do you want to go to a hockey game? I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know anything about hockey. Never been around hockey. He's like, come with me. My dad's taking us. We'll go. Nothing else. Just something to do. I was like, all right, word. We went to hockey game. Y'all, period and a half in, I was transfixed. Love this. And now it's one of my favorite games. I love watching hockey. So I believe, I've said this on the show before, I believe hockey is the best sport to go to live. Really. Not on TV. I understand people who can't get into it on TV. And I've said for a lot of years, hockey needs to really kind of work on its television presentation because it's not ideal. But in person, I don't think there's a sport that wins people over faster than hockey if you can get them to a game. So yesterday, you bring 3,500 kids. I promise you, there was a couple hundred of them that walked out of there going, that was a blast. That was fun. That was great. So number one, I think it's a fantastic way to expose the game of hockey to an audience. Because now you'd like to think a couple hundred out of those 3,500 kids are going to go home and tell mom and dad, I had so much fun at the hockey game, I want to go back. Can you take me to hockey games? And bang, you've grown your audience. But the other aspect of this, and this is why I've said, in fact, I got a clip coming up later today that I want to play that goes in this regard. This is the other reason that I am such a big believer in, proponent of, and advocate for youth sports. Because sports, whether you're watching or playing, youth sports, to me, is the most important thing outside of a classroom that a kid can have in their life, right? I think the demand for a great education is one thing. And again, it's not about learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's not the ability to go sit in AP history class and to recite the order of the battles of the American Revolution. It's more about learning the principles that led to it. It's more about learning the foundation that was laid to get us to the set of beliefs that led to people being willing to lay down their lives to start a new country, right? And how those things apply and all the lessons that we have learned through the dark periods of this country's history to be able to get us to the next level. That's an important aspect of it. As my dad used to tell me all the time, it is about learning how to learn. It's not about what you're learning. It's about learning how to learn. It's about it's the ability to grab a book and to dive in and to figure out the process that it takes to take that information, to absorb it, and then to be able to think critically about the world around you to make the right decisions. I think getting a good education and providing kids with a good, solid education is important. But I believe the next most important thing in the world is youth sports. And it doesn't have to be the traditional ones. It doesn't have to just be basketball, football, soccer. It can be hockey. It can be gymnastics. It can be whatever. It can be chess. It can be debate club. Whatever. Competition. Because I believe that competition teaches you life lessons that you can't learn in a classroom. I believe that youth sports teaches you about sportsmanship. And it teaches you about how to win with grace and how to lose with dignity. I believe it teaches you how to be a good teammate. I believe it teaches you how to demand excellence out of yourself, to hold yourself accountable. I believe it learns you how to hold other people accountable and do so in a positive way, right? Not just walk up and go, hey, you big dumb idiot, you screwed up. But to be able to say, hey, man, listen, you came up a little short here, but I believe that you can do this. And here's my thoughts on how we get better at that. And I believe it teaches you, on top of all of those things, I believe that it teaches you how to take all of that to demand excellence out of yourself, how to perform under pressure, and to bring the best out of you. And if you can take that lesson from being on a basketball team or a debate team, or a gymnastics team or a cheerleading squad or a football team, then you can apply that to everything else you do the rest of your life that involves interacting with other people. You can take that when you get your first job and you're placed on a team under a manager. Well, now you've learned how to be coached, how to take the feedback you get from somebody in a position that says, we need this, this, and this from you, and go, okay, I can take this and I can apply it and make these changes to be better, and then work within this team, et cetera. Youth sports is massively important. So that's why I didn't care with the fact that these kids blew my damn eardrums out yesterday. I still loved every second of it because those kids walked away in love with a new sport that they will grow in and have new experiences out of. And I think that's fantastic. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. You know, I very, very much love it when we have a conversation on the show and I have a take and we get off the air and I go somewhere else because, you know, I listen to, we've talked about this, I listen to radio stations and podcasts from around the sports talkosphere just to kind of hear what the conversations are, what the ideas are. Maybe you hear something that I go, oh, I didn't think about that angle, or maybe I didn't hear about this story, or I didn't have that thought, or what a response from that caller, or what an incredible interview. I want to grab some sound for that, or whatever. I think it's important for people in this industry to be connected in, just like you guys in the Armada want to stay connected to this industry, right? Well, yesterday, as I was perusing the social media, I came across a couple of guys, and you may have heard of these guys, Lonzo, Jason and Travis Kelce. You heard of these cats?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, couple of young dudes got a podcast. One, I believe, is a former NFL player. The other, I believe, is still active.
I could have swore one of them, you know, is a vandal, but you know.
I believe that is correct. Also a wonderful family man who sticks up for his brother. I think it's great. Anyway, these two gentlemen, Travis and Jason Kelce, they do a podcast together called the New Heights Podcast. It's a couple of bros who sit around and they talk about everything. And yesterday, they dropped on a social media, on the New Heights Podcast social media pages, highlights from a discussion that they had that Lonzo may sound familiar.
Biggest takeaways from the game, Jerry Jones is still at war with the sun.
Yeah, there was a moment in the game, CeeDee Lamb running across the end zone had a chance to have a wide open touchdown and could not see the ball.
I'm not going to lie. Playing in that stadium, I've had that problem before. That glare coming through that end zone in the afternoon is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
You'd think they put up like shades or something, but alas.
Look at that, dude. What the why the is it that bright?
Jerry Jones was asked about the possibility putting up curtains to block out the sun at AT&T Stadium. He said, well, let's tear the damn stadium down and build another one. Are you kidding me? I'm saying the world knows where the sun is. You get to know that almost a year in advance. Someone asked me about the sun. What about the sun? Where's the moon?
What the f*** is Jerry talking about?
The world knows where the sun is. Yeah, and so do architects and people that build stadiums. And usually you try to avoid the fact that the sun might be directly in your receiver's eyes. I guess in Jerry's defense, you would think the Cowboys would know this is an issue and they could use it to their advantage. But I don't know.
Yeah. Where's the moon?
Where's the moon? The old moon got in the way, coach. Said no one ever.
We need to institute a minimum bleep. So if it gets to this number, then the cut, you just don't use it anymore.
No, I'm using it. I don't care.
I mean, because it's they've gotten worse, by the way. They cleaned it up for a while, and then they go through a trend, and then they get a talking to, and then they go back to it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I think two things. Number one.
The effort it took for you to go through and bleep all that.
Oh, it took me a minute.
I don't know that it was worth it.
Took me a minute, and it absolutely was worth it. All right, so I'll start with this. Number one. And you don't have to agree with it. McAfee changed the game in that regard. McAfee changed the game in that regard. I got Nick Saban dropping multiple a week live on game day. I got Rex Ryan on a studio. If there's one place that you thought was safe, it's the studio talking head show. That's the one place that you kind of have this old, we only use clean, squeaky language in here. And I got Rex Ryan dropping a bull live on air.
I know you always get mad about this, but I'm just going to say, you know, if the game has changed, go for it.
Again, the day that that man down the hall that's in charge of me and signs my paycheck comes down here and says, Rob, I don't care if you say F on the radio, you're not getting fired. I'll do it. I don't care. The government says I'm not allowed to do it. Okay?
Why is the government allowing?
Because that's a podcast.
Podcasts are not regulated. So that's
correct.
That's, I get that.
And I will tell you this. When I'm not doing one now because there's a whole lot of factors. It is in the talks for me to do a nighttime podcast maybe once or twice a week where I will go on air for like an hour, maybe twice a week from the house and do an uncensored, unscripted podcast. That and I will go ahead and tell you. If I get the thumbs up for that down the line, yeah, that's how it's going to sound. Because as McAfee's disclaimer works, that's how adults in the real world talk. So for me, I don't really care. Whatever. And my thought is, what's the difference between one bleep and six? It's a bleep. Like, what's the difference? If you hear one and you go, that's enough, then are you going to tune out because you heard a second one?
Here's the thing for me and probably for others. After it reaches a certain amount, it starts taking away from the content that you're trying to listen to. So all you're waiting for the next beep and you're not actually listening to. And in my case, I have to listen for, because I don't know if you missed one. So I have to listen it because you've missed them on occasion.
Yeah, but that's well, let's talk about it from the standpoint of the public, because that's your job. That's you doing your job. My job is to make sure I'm bleeping those things out. So I got to pay attention to it too. But for me, what matters here is the content of this take. And the content's great. And I would also like to point out,
The content is not great because who cares about the sun in Dallas? They suck. I mean, it's just the whole story.
You have once again missed what I said or neglected or avoided or ignored what I said. The conversation ain't about the sun. The conversation is that there are multiple factors like this. There are multiple scenarios, situations that have stacked up like this, one after the next, after the next, after the next, after the next, all of which point to the same conclusion. And I think you heard Jason kind of get into it there. Jerry Jones refuses to acknowledge a mistake got made. And in fact, he would rather get upset at other people for pointing it out than deal with it, right? Like, he would rather get mad at someone pointing out that a mistake was made, and by the way, is correctable, And in case people were going, oh, you're making too much of a big deal about it. Well, here is the best pass-catching tight end in the NFL going, yeah, dude, that son's a son of a up there in Dallas. It makes it real hard to catch the football. I've had that problem. I have looked into that son. Look at that. It's bleeping bright, right? So here is a guy who is known as a pass catcher in the league that's telling you, yeah, it's problematic. And this team plays 9 games a year there. It's absolutely a problem. And then Jason points out that the defense of not putting the shades down is, you know where the sun is. Isn't that the point? You know which games the sun's going to be a problem. Jerry's own words. You know which games are going to be a problem a year in advance. So don't you plan to have the blinds closed in that moment, right? The point, this conversation is not and never has been about the sun. Shut up about the sun. This conversation is and always has been about the fact that there are repeated incidents where something's going wrong, and instead of JJ going, yeah, we made a mistake. How much different of a conversation are we having if JJ comes out and he goes, yeah, you know what? Like, I didn't know it was that big of a problem. Now I do. We're closing the blinds. Because, and this is kind of going back to what we were talking about in the last segment with life lessons being learned through sports, right? If your owner can't acknowledge that he made a mistake by not closing blinds, do you trust them to make a to acknowledge that he made a mistake with a head coach or a contract or something that actually impacts the football team on a year-to-year basis? If I can't trust that he can acknowledge when he is hearing it from his own players, tight ends that are Hall of Famers, retired centers from other teams that are going, this is a problem. If he can't acknowledge it's a problem and commit to a solution, then how in the hell do I expect that he will eventually recognize Mike McCarthy was a mistake, this contract is a mistake, not signing Derrick Henry was a mistake, not signing whoever, not cutting whoever, not moving on from this coordinator, whatever. If he can't acknowledge closing blinds, then how in the hell do I trust him when it comes to, you know, being the general manager?
All right, so I have a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this or not. How long has the stadium been around?
Oh, Jerry Dome's been around for, what, a decade? Decade and a half?
So this has just suddenly become a problem.
Did you not hear Travis Kelce?
No, you're missing the point.
No, you're missing the point.
Why wasn't this a story year one, year two, year three, year five, all the way through year 10?
You're missing.
It wasn't because it's now a story because the sports media has decided, hey, let's talk about the sun.
That's why it's
a story. If it was a story year one,
okay, Jerry,
that would be
blame
different.
The media. But it's also the media's fault. It's not the sun. It's not me. It's not me. It's the man. Travis Kelce literally just told you for years this has been a problem.
I didn't know you 10 years ago. You're guessing it was 10 years ago when this came out. Were you talking about the story then? About how they built the stadium, but the sun shines. Year two, after the stadium had been around for a while, and so people had experienced it. Were you talking about it then? No. Why are you talking about it
Lonzo,
now?
Lonzo, can I talk about a problem I don't know exists? No, but now I know it exists. Now I know it's a problem that has existed for a number of years.
It took a decade for them to figure out that the sun shines in people's eyes.
So what? If somebody is wrongly convicted of a crime 10 years ago and it comes to light today, do we not go, oh, it's a problem? Or you go, how come you didn't point it out 10 years ago? Why weren't I that? No, you go, it's a problem and now we correct it. Here's the point. The point is, whether it's been a problem for a day, a week, a month, a year, or a decade, it's a problem. And it's a problem that if we know about it now, and I even think you're doing what Jerry did, which is you think you're giving a good argument, and the reality is you're making it worse.
I shut it down. No, this whole thing is shut down.
If this has been a problem.
By the way, it came out in 2009.
It's
been around that long, and no one started complaining about the sun till the last couple weeks.
If this has been a problem, and Travis Kelce just said, for him who plays in that stadium probably once every 5 to 6 years, if he's saying it's a problem he's had multiple times, if it's been a problem that long, I promise you some Cowboys wide receivers have been like, this is a problem, right? And if it's been a problem this long, and you have plenty of players now, including the most recent Travis Kelce, that have come out and said, yeah, it's been a problem. But if it's been a problem that long, and Jerry Jones has either A, not known that it causes a problem, and B, refuses to acknowledge that is a problem, and then C, when called out for it being a problem, actually gives an argument that makes his position worse. We know where the sun is a year in advance. Well, then you should know a year in advance when the hell to close the curtains to not cause a problem. If I can't trust this guy to get this right, to get this angle right, then how do I trust him as a general manager of a football team that I want to invest in? Not me personally. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I hope they lose every game forever, respectfully.
And now 2 days in a row, you've talked about them. And you've fallen into the trap of we need to talk about a non-story, about a team that you don't want to talk about, but you've been talking about the team.
So, two things. Number one. There has never been a point in my career where I'm not willing to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Not because I like them or dislike them, but because they're the most popular team in America. There are Cowboys fans here. There are literally 50% of the people that we work with and around are Dallas Cowboys fans.
All right, that's an exaggeration.
On this station?
Yeah.
You're right. 20% of the people. 20% of us.
I just, you know, math.
There's one Chiefs fan, one Saints fan, one guy who hates the NFL, and two Cowboys fans. That's here in Greenville, South Carolina.
I don't know if you throw the boss in there. I don't think you
Does he not have control over what happens on the air
here?
Yeah,
but also control over several different stations.
Of the five people who work for and on this station, 20% of them are Dallas fans. If I was going to today, just use that as a microcosm. If I was going to do an NFL conversation and the objective was to guarantee that I have as many people listening, the right decision is to talk about the Dallas Cowboys because two of the people on the station love it and at least two of us hate them. That's four people that are invested. So
I'm indifferent, by the way. I don't care about the Cowboys because they stink.
Oh, me and Diesel is who I was thinking about talking about.
Okay. All
but
right.
Here's the second part. Whether you like them or not, irrelevant. Whether I like them or not, irrelevant. What matters is, do they resonate? And the answer is, yeah, I hate them, but they resonate. So you put all this together, it is a team that is compelling to talk about. And it is always fun to revel in other people's misery. And so part of what you get to do in this situation is to go, hey, all you Cowboys fans, you entitled, elitist, unjustifiably arrogant Cowboys fans, your owner / general manager can't figure out how to flip a switch that makes your wide receivers be able to see touchdown passes. He can't get that right. But you trust him to make the right call about head coach? Because, by the way, if Mike McCarthy is done this year, whether he gets fired or he says, bleep this, I'm out, and he walks, Jerry Jones is in charge of hiring your next head coach.
I don't get it. If you hate a team, shouldn't you want Jerry to stay there? Shouldn't you want them to stay
irrelevant?
Do you
listen to what I say?
I just
said that. Yes, I want to dunk on this team. I want to dunk on this team, and I want to dunk on this team to aggravate Cowboys fans. I will acknowledge it. I want to aggravate you. That's the fun part for me. But
does that aggravate them, though?
Know that their general manager is inept and can't figure out how to close a blind when his wide receivers are actively telling him this is a problem?
If I were a Cowboy fan, I would say, hey, the stadium's been around 15 years. Why are you talking about this now?
All right.
That's what I would say.
I hope your sports flash is better than buzz-killing my segment.
If
the sun was in your eyes, I'd close the blinds for you, Lonzo.
I made it more entertaining.
Because I'm a good general manager.
That's what I do. LeBron James has recorded the 40th 30-point triple-double of his career and 128-123 win over the Memphis Grizzlies last night. James scored 35 to go with 14 assists and 12 boards, his fourth triple-double of the year. James also holds the record for oldest player in the league with three straight triple-doubles. Would have gotten four, but the sun, you know. Victor Wembanyama notched his first 50-point game in a 139-130 win over the Wizards last night. Wemby, at 20 years and 314 days old, is the fourth youngest player to score 50. And I don't know if you knew this, but we're just a day away from boxing history as the knockout machine Iron Mike Tyson takes on the most punchable face in boxing, Jake Paul. Stay tuned right here for the hype leading up to the fight, which goes down tomorrow night. And we're going to be talking about it in Fight Club at 9:20. He'll probably leave the room. We'll see.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.